20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the Thursday edition of the show. As always, another weekend is here. I am half of your Thursday crew, Jason Perrone. You can find some of my other work over at Game On Wisconsin, where I do the Quick Slants podcast. With me, as always, of Packer Report is Mark Eckel. Mark, happy May.
Oh, yeah. It's our first show in May.
First show in May. Absolutely, it is.
May might be my favorite month of the year.
And why is that?
It's a nice month.
Not too hot,
May,
not cold.
The weather-wise, it's perfect. And now, where I live now, it's the weather's great. And we're not real crowded yet.
There's no Packers football, so I would have thought your favorite month of the year would be a football month, but okay.
Oh, well, there's that too. I didn't think of it that way, but I was thinking more personal, not professional.
Gotcha. Okay, I gotcha. Well,
I think May was always my favorite month when I was working because that was usually when I was off.
Right, okay.
You know, because the draft is over, so I work my butt off doing draft. You know, you work all year, then you work free agency, then you work draft. And then you're kind of, from until, you know, mini camps and stuff, I kind of got a chance to relax a little bit.
You're chilling. Yep. Okay. Well, we're going to talk about the majority of our show today is going to break down the two tight ends that the Packers just drafted. And we are very excited to get that assignment because, obviously, it was a very... very heavy target this year, and the Packers made two big-time picks. So we'll talk about Luke Musgrave as well as Tucker Kraft in a minute. But there was a little bit of news. Once again, Mark, hey, the news cycle. A little bit of news dropped on Wednesday. Former Green Bay Packers wide receiver Randall Cobb was signed by the New York Jets. Yet one other piece, formerly of the Green Bay Packers, that is joining Aaron Rodgers in New York with the Jets. It's not surprising,
no,
Mark, but it's noteworthy. It's Randall Cobb. He's a Packers Hall of Famer, if you ask me.
Yes.
And so him going to spend a year in New York and team up with Aaron Rodgers is at least intriguing.
And he's going to make $3 million.
Yeah, not too shabby.
And listen, Randall Cobb, I've dealt with him once or twice in my career. Very cordial, very nice person to deal with from a media standpoint. Like you said, Packer Hall of Famer, had a great career with the Packers, but come on. We saw him last year. He's not Randall. He's not the Randall Cobb that was a Packer Hall of Famer anymore. Mm-hmm. He's 35 years old. You know, somebody said it. I wish I said it first. I'd like to remember who said it so I could get them credit, but somebody compared Aaron Rodgers to Adam Sandler and that he just keeps giving his friends jobs in his movies, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, that's true. You see the same characters over and over again.
Oh, yeah. Sandler's the star, and he gets the big money, but then he always finds roles for all his friends. And that's kind of what the Jets are doing with letting Aaron Rodgers. It's funny. Rich Bisaccia became the assistant general manager in Green Bay, obviously, right? I mean, I'm kidding. He's assistant head coach, but it seems like every move the Packers made this year was helping special teams. So Bisaccia, I've given him the title assistant general manager.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers is, well, he might be general manager. I think Douglas is his assistant.
The way he walked in the building and was saying hello to everybody, everyone was lined up as if the CEO just walked in. So I guess you're not wrong. He's definitely pulling some strings over there. And again, listen, as a Packers fan, I am not going to be one of those that has any ill will about any of these players leaving Rodgers or anybody else going to play in New York. That's perfectly fine. I'm looking at the situation and saying, what do the Jets need to do for Green Bay to maximize on that pick next year? And I'll tell you something. Adding guys like Alan Lazard and Billy Turner and Randall Cobb, and if they add Mercedes Lewis in there, in addition to the Jets being the Jets, I'm feeling pretty good about my chances. And that's, you know, that's going to come across.
They add it. And I saw this. I didn't even know this. I saw
Malik Taylor.
They added him.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow. They're really digging deep into the trenches.
And then Hackett. Don't forget Hackett.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Hackett's there. Yeah. Hackett's been there. So, I mean, I feel pretty good about this thing turning out. Okay. I mean, listen, these players, you know,
it's a good thing Rodgers didn't have that wish list.
Right. No, there was no wish list. Yeah. No, not at all. No, there's definitely some backtracking that some have to do that didn't think some of those reports were correct. So whether that, well, and I'll tell you this too, Mark, if there was no wish list, the Jets are hell of mind readers then.
Yeah. They're
wow. That's pretty impressive, right? So Randall Cobb off and running. Listen, he wasn't going to come back to the Packers. The Packers are in a much different place now. They're doing a lot different things than adding players who were at the end of their career. This is not a one piece away from the Super Bowl type of a situation. Speaking of which, so we knew going into this draft this past weekend, and you said you liked the draft. I like the draft as well. I like what the Packers did.
Yeah, I can't complain at all.
A lot of players, a lot of
13
bodies.
13 players.
13 in total, which was, in you know, day three was crazy. They sat and picked every single spot. No,
were you shocked by that?
I was, yeah.
Yeah, I was too.
I thought, you know, pick five or six really good players, but okay, you know, hey, I mean, that's fine because if they, listen, if this draft, and there's a lot to be said about it and done or before we know, but if this draft, if half of these players hit, this is going to be a historic draft.
That's a great draft.
Yeah, it's a very good draft.
If you get six players or seven, depending, you know, six or seven, if you get that many players from a draft, even that would still mean that you missed on six or whatever, but still, that would be a great draft.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would. And obviously,
Ron Wolf used to say one out of three.
One out of three. I remember him saying that. And this, the top picks are going to ultimately be, as they are always, higher on that magnifying glass.
Right.
And the Packers got busy on day two and took two tight ends. So their first tight end taken was Luke Musgrave out of Oregon State. 6'6". That's a big body, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going to be your receiving tight end. I mean, I don't want to corner either Tucker Kraft or Luke Musgrave into either a pass catching or blocking. They're both going to be asked to do a little bit of both. But I think the idea is Musgrave is coming in. He's your pass catcher. He's extremely athletic. Shocker. No surprise there. You know, big athletic score. And he comes from a good program. Here we're getting back to the Pac-12, Mark.
Yep. And Ted smiled.
Ted smiled when this pick was made. But here it is. The Packers are addressing this need. They lost Robert Tonyan. They lost Mercedes. Well, Mercedes Lewis is not here. And we assume that he's not going to come back. I don't know. Maybe he will. I have no idea. But
they didn't give out number 89, so that's somewhat interesting. But
it is, yeah. So there could be something to it here, but they obviously want to get younger and more athletic, and
right.
And you know Musgrave is a really, really good pick.
I love Musgrave. He's my favorite. I said before we started, when we were just, you know, prepping for the show, I told you he was my favorite pick of all 13.
Mm-hmm.
I liked him a lot, and like you said, he's the receiver. Both of these guys, and Kraft as well, the beauty of both of them is that it's not like they're like prior Packer tight ends, like in recent memory. You had, you know, Tonyan was a receiving tight end. He could block a little bit, but he was a receiving tight end. Mercedes Lewis was a blocking tight end. Yeah, he caught a few balls, but like you said, they were pigeonholed into what these guys are complete tight ends,
mm-hmm.
which there aren't many. And both these two can both be good receivers, and they're more than adequate blocking, especially in line. Like they'll help the run game. It's not like they're going to be liabilities out there blocking. They can take, you know, they can knock people backwards and open holes for you know, for Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon as well, which I think the running game, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but you know, this Packer team next year to be successful in Jordan Love's first year as a starter, the running game is going to be very important. So these guys are going to have to be pretty good blockers in the run game, and I think they are. But I loved the Musgrave pick, and I liked the Kraft pick.
Kraft, more of your inline type blocker. I mean, you know, again, they haven't put on a Packers uniform yet. They haven't done anything in a game. So these are just some of the things that
right.
have been said here. But the Packers obviously have two guys here that they can put on the field at the same time. I know the Matt LaFleur offense definitely wants to get two tight ends on the field at the same time as well. They can do that with these two here. Now, I will say, this is my little tongue-in-cheek joke here. So, Musgrave, Pac-12, Oregon State, Tucker Kraft, South Dakota State. Mark, go ahead and get it out of the way here. I know he wasn't a first-round pick, but
I'm glad you set me up perfectly.
All right.
Now, I do have reservations about Kraft. And you're going to think it's because he came from a small school. And normally I'd say, yeah, but no, I'm not worried about him coming. And then you might say, well, it was because he was injured and you don't like drafting guys that have had injury histories, and you'd be right again, but that doesn't bother me either. What bothers me the most about him, he was a third-round pick of the Packers.
Right.
And we know how that goes.
Yeah, he's a third-round pick, so he's got enormous odds to overcome, right? Although, what's ironic?
Eventually that has to end, right? They got a good third-round pick.
You know what's ironic is there's a third-round tight end already on the roster.
Yeah, DeGuara.
So, Josiah DeGuara, and maybe now with Jordan Love at quarterback and the offense revamped a little bit, maybe he actually has some kind of a little breakout year here, and he's going to be used
now, I think, the way Matt LaFleur wanted to use him when he drafted him, which is not really as a pure tight end, right?
H-back, and yeah, he was
going
to...
Yeah, move him around, mm-hmm. maybe even fullback, whatever, you know, like they did with that kid in San Francisco.
Juszczyk, yeah.
Yes.
Well, when you have a quarterback that's willing to throw to the guy that's open and there isn't some doghouse that's been created in some way, shape, or form. And listen, I don't know. I mean, I've seen DeGuara make some mistakes. I think he made a big one in the Arizona game. I can't remember what it was. I think he lined up wrong or something like that.
Yeah, he made mistakes.
And it was, you know, when you have a touchy situation with the guy who's throwing the football, I don't think Jordan Love's going to be that way. So, yeah, I mean.
What was the biggest – DeGuara's been in the league now, but he's been in – 3 years?
3 years. This will be his fourth year.
Well, 1 year he was basically hurt, right?
Correct.
So anyway, what's the big – if I'm a little quiz here. What's the biggest play of DeGuara's career thus far?
You know what? He made a catch.
You remember it?
No. The only one I can think of, that my brain's going to let me down here, because the only one I can think of was I think he had a nice catch in the very first game he ever played in Minnesota in the COVID year of 2020.
Oh, you did, yeah. You're right about that. But the biggest play, in my opinion, was I don't know how many yards it was, but a big touchdown in the Lions game 2 years ago, the last game of the year when everybody played.
Okay.
And the pass came from Jordan Love.
Okay. Little preview of things to come, maybe?
I'm just saying.
Yeah. You know. Well, it's like I said,
he's not good. Because of Musgrave and Kraft now, DeGuara is not going to be your in-line tight end.
Right.
He's going, like I said. I don't know, maybe I'm too optimistic, but I'm really looking forward to this offense. I mean, they're young, but they're young and dangerous. They're going to be fun to watch. Now, they're going to make mistakes. They have a new quarterback. They have a bunch of young players at wide receiver. I mean, you have 4 second-year guys and 3 rookies. You know, they're young, but that's okay. And now you got 2 young tight ends.
Right.
DeGuara is not old, but he's the oldest guy in the building now, right? Mm-hmm. The oldest guy of your quote unquote pass catchers, right? He's been here, this is his fourth year, so he's the veteran in that of all those guys. So they're going to make some mistakes, especially early on, but they're still going to be, like you said, the quarterback's going to look around. The ball's going to go over the middle a lot more, and that's where the tight ends, like I think Musgrave and Kraft are going to be factors over the middle, and that's just going to make Dobbs and Watson more dangerous on the outside.
Yeah, no, I think so too. And our old partner and compadre Paul Brettel for Packers Wire wrote a nice recap over about Musgrave and Tucker Kraft, and reminded everybody of something that's important, is that rookie tight ends don't typically make a huge mark. In fact, he had a really interesting stat. So if you go back to 2003, there's only 2 rookie tight ends that have gone over 600 yards. Now, neither of these 2, based on the way the LaFleur offense runs and what we expect and have seen from them in college, I don't think we were expecting either of them to do that anyway. So I'm not trying to set anyone up for disappointment. But
you never know. I remember Keith Jackson's rookie year with the Eagles in 88. Mm-hmm. He had over 800 yards and 80-some catches.
Mm-hmm.
As a rookie tight end.
Yep.
Because the Eagles featured him.
Yep.
I mean, he was their guy. He was Randall Cunningham's guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think, again, I'm not going to put any numbers out there or, I don't want to put up some, false expectations or anything, but I do a little show in Washington. I do it from home, but it's aired in Washington every week called By the Book. And it's mostly a gambling show. And I do football stuff for my kids. So that I was on Wednesday night. I'm on every Wednesday night. And they asked me to my picks for Offensive Rookie of the Year and Defensive Rookie of the Year. And Bijan Robinson is a favorite. And I said he probably should be the favorite. His odds are only plus 350. But I said, you know, he's in a good spot there in Atlanta, blah, blah, blah. You know, I said, but if you're looking for a long shot, I said Luke Musgrave, because and his odds are really high because he's a tight end. Like you said, tight ends in recent years haven't. But with a young quarterback in Jordan Love, I think a tight end like Musgrave is going to provide an enormous security blanket.
Yeah, who's usually the best friend of a young quarterback?
Yes.
More often than not.
A good receiving tight end.
And so Musgrave can get vertical. He's going to be a vertical presence. Kraft brings a lot of yards after the catch, which is that's exciting to me. Is finally somebody that's one thing about Musgrave that I saw some criticism of, where it's like he goes down too quickly, and I'm like, well, I remember when Bubba Franks would do that too. He was really great at the goal line when you needed 1 yard. He caught a ton of touchdowns. Like, didn't he have at one point like as many touchdowns as yards, or more touchdowns than yards somehow? But Musgrave, that was the thing about him, was, you know, can he stay up? But it sounds like Kraft is absolutely the yak machine. So it's like he might not have the blazing speed, but if you can turn a 5 yard pass into a first down on a regular basis, you're gonna do fine in the NFL.
I agree. No, I like, but like I said, well let me ask you. So you watched the draft.
I did.
Day two, right? Mm-hmm. You were watching Friday night. So they don't take offense in the first round again. They take Lucas Van Ness, the pass rusher from Iowa. And, you know, so now second round's coming. And the picks are going by. And Meyer goes off. Well, Kincaid was already gone because the Bills traded up in the first round to get him.
Yep.
Who I also liked a lot.
Yep.
And I'm not like a lot of guys that put out, these are my rankings, or because they're just my own opinions. But I liked Musgrave and Kincaid. Gun to my head, I liked Kincaid the best. But Musgrave was, I mean, a whisker below. I liked Musgrave better than Meyer.
Okay, so I had I wanted Kincaid first, then Meyer, and then Musgrave.
Okay, and that's kind of how they went. I think that's how the draft went, right?
Yeah.
But the Lions thought it was 1965 when they were picking.
Man, Detroit had an interesting draft, didn't they?
Yeah, if it was 1965, it would have been a great draft for the running back and the middle linebacker. Problem is, the NFL doesn't use either one of them anymore.
They don't, and then you look at what Minnesota did. I just, you know, we keep being told to temper our expectations for how the NFC North is going to go, but then you watched all the draft that the other division rivals had, and it's like, well, the Bears did okay, but they're the Bears. And so I'm just like, well, from a draft perspective, I know the Packers might not necessarily have the same aspirations on paper, but this division is still, even with Jordan Love never having played more than one full game in his career as a starter, this is still looking very doable.
We'll get into that later, because I'm way up more optimistic than most people are about the Packers this year. And anyway, so the second round starts and it goes, I'll just read it off. So Joey Porter goes first, Pittsburgh, no surprise. Will Levis finally goes. Laporta goes, when I'm thinking, whoa. Then Meyer was the very next pick. The Raiders actually moved up and took Meyer. So now I'm thinking, my thoughts were, oh, shoot, here go to tight ends.
Yeah, there's a run going.
The Packers better move. They better do something.
I still thought they would take a receiver, too. I mean, or another. I still thought they might take another, because they tend to stock up at a position. And I'm just like, you can't address everything. And I'm like, are they going to really ignore tight end?
Well, but I knew they didn't want to, but when Laporta and Meyer go back to back at 30, 34 and 35, I guess, I'm getting worried now. I'm thinking, oh no. Cause we've seen this before. Like the 1 year they did want a wide receiver, and then they went bang, 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 bang. And all of a sudden the Packers are sitting there saying, well, there's no wide receivers left, so we got to do something else. So I'm getting nervous. I'm thinking, move up. You got all these picks, move up, trade a second and a fourth, trade a second and a third, do something, move up. Get up and get Musgrave. And then it went Steve Avila, Derek Hall, Bergeron, John Mingo, Isaiah Foskey. Arizona takes BJ Ojulari, and then Musgrave's there and the Packers take him. And I was like, phew.
Yep.
Sigh of relief. Yep. And also a sigh of happiness, because I wanted Musgrave ahead of Meyer or Laporte anyway.
So were you sitting there, that was your guy then in that spot?
Yes. I wanted Musgrave. If they were going tight end, and I was hoping they would go tight end. So yeah, I was nervous as can be. And I'm looking at the teams thinking, well, this team don't need a tight end. Like Atlanta's not taking a tight end and Arizona's not taking a tight end. But then again, you know, there were so many like just minor trades, like teams moving up two and three spots. I'm like, you know, I hope, you know, this team doesn't move ahead of them, or this team doesn't move ahead. Cause like the Raiders moved up to get Meyer. So that's what I was worried about, somebody else moving up. that needed a tight end, but it didn't happen. And like I said, I was very, very, very happy when they said the Packers select Luke Musgrave, tight end, Oregon State.
Because I say anybody that picks a Green Bay Packers draft choice gets extra credit, because it just seems like, I know they have very specific measurables and it can be easy to pick players that should be on the radar for Green Bay, but they always just seem to go in a direction that we're not always expecting.
Well, Andy,
so that's
Andy
a big deal.
Nailed it. Didn't Andy get three of their first four picks?
Yes, he did.
Which is amazing. You know, he yes, knows. Yes, Andy's he did. Pretty plugged in.
I mean, it's being plugged in, but it's also just not being oblivious to and ignoring the history and the strategy. If you look at, we have enough of a sample size now. We know what kind of players the Packers like. We know that they're not going to probably ever take a receiver in the first round as long as Goody's the GM, because he just doesn't value that there.
Well, he would have. He tried to trade into the first round last year and take Watson.
And he wanted Jefferson, and those were right. Transcendent. Yeah, those are really good receiver prospects. Again, like you and I said when we talked a couple shows ago, this was a grade on a curve draft. You can't take, you know, just because a player was the highest, like Jackson Smith Najigba, he's the highest rated receiver in this draft. It doesn't mean that he would be in any draft.
Exactly.
Right? So that's why we're glad that the Packers don't reach and they still say, well, who's the best player? What's the best value here? They went with Van Ness.
Right.
So, but the tight end position here, hard to argue that they didn't use some early capital. And I, you know, everyone's excited about Musgrave because he's the known entity, and he's, you know, got, there's a lot to be excited about. But I
think he has of all the, and this was a very good tight end, right? See, if you listen to Brian Gutekunst, if you listen to him, mm-hmm. and Ted Thompson, God rest his soul, and he did a great, he built a Super Bowl champion, so I'll never say anything bad about Ted Thompson. I think toward the end, he wasn't as sharp as he once was and made some bad picks, but an overall great GM, you know, but he's a Packer Hall of Famer, and rightfully so, but he didn't say anything. So you never had any idea what they were going to do, because he never answered any questions about what they were going to do. Nothing. Although after a while, you kind of knew he was going to take a Pac-12 player, because that's what he took Pac-12 players every year. But if you listen to Goody, listen to what he says. Like, I knew they weren't taking an offensive lineman.
Right.
Everybody kept saying, offensive line. Every time he was asked about the offensive line, he said, we have 13 on the roster already. He was trying to tell you, we don't need an offensive lineman. We got 13 of them.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to tell you that.
Right.
You know, there was another position that he kind of poo-pooed that, we're not taking. But he did say more than once that this is a good tight end class. There's a lot of tight ends. He also said this was a good edge rusher class. Well, what did he do? He took an edge rusher and he took a tight end, his first two picks.
Yep.
Now, I didn't know which ones he was going to take. And who's know? I mean, he may have had Meyer ahead of Musgrave too. I don't know. He might have had, I don't know, because they were gone. I just think Musgrave fits, and I'm nothing against Meyer. I had him third. I think Meyer is what he is. I think he's going to be good. I think he has a very, he was the safest pick, I thought.
So, and by safe, when I think of that, I think of a player as like, okay, 7 to 10 years in the league, not going to light the world on fire, but dependable.
Yes, that's Meyer. He'll be good for all those years. Every year he plays, he'll be a good tight end.
Look what Cole Kmet is doing in Chicago right now, and maybe that's the same role that Mayer carves out, which isn't bad.
He might be even better than him.
Okay.
But I think Musgrave, and again, I hate doing this and putting too high expectations on a rookie, but I think he can be that special tight end. Kincaid too. I think both of them have a chance to be, again, I don't want to say the names, but you know what I'm saying. They could be Pro Bowl type tight ends.
Well, I do think you should mention one name, because before we started, we were talking about comparing him to Packers, and the last Packers tight end that was really impactful was JerMichael Finley.
Yes. Oh, I think Musgrave can be every bit as good as JerMichael Finley.
How excited did everybody just? I mean, everybody probably just smiled and had to have gotten excited, because it's been that long since the Packers.
Tunyon had the one real good year.
10 years. It's been 10 years since they've had a tight end that you're like, hey, this guy can actually make a play, get out there. I mean, remember how amazing he was in 2011?
Who's that? Finley?
Finley. He was so good.
He was good.
I mean, just could, you know, he could catch, he make plays. Like, you've got
to block. He wasn't the best blocker.
No, but that wasn't what they wanted him to do.
Right.
And which is fine. But now I just, you know, the Packers do a good job, due diligence, smart football players. They're Packers guys ready to come in and contribute and be a good part of this culture. I don't see any issues here. I think they made two solid picks, and I think these guys will be good players. Now, obviously,
all right, so
maybe
let me take you now. So it's Friday night. So they take Musgrave. I'm thrilled. I don't know your feelings when the commissioner or whoever made the second round pick. I think it was still the commissioner, right, Roger?
You could be right. That wasn't Leroy Butler.
Leroy didn't come out to the next one when they took Reed. So your initial reaction, because mine was I was very happy.
I actually did not see that one live. I was out for that one, and so I read it on Twitter.
Okay.
But my reaction,
so when you read it, were you?
But my reaction was good, because it's like, okay, I mean, and it's not just because it was a prospect that I had heard of, but it was like, okay, they got one of the top three.
Okay.
And I really didn't know, you know, where I had those ranked, but they got one of the top three, and it's like, hey, good. They're on the radar. They made a high pick here. And again, I've kind of fallen into the trance of believing in whatever Gutekunst does, because when he hits, he's found some really good players. And so I don't have any reason to believe that these guys aren't going to work out. It's possible. I mean, drafted Josh Jackson, and I know everyone points to that one as the big stinker, but he's also hit on some.
Again, that's the Tony Mandarich.
Right, but he's also hit on.
Everybody would have taken, but I don't think there wasn't anybody. Nobody said Josh Jackson was a bad pick when they made it.
Right.
Nobody.
Correct.
Everybody said, oh, wow, that's a good pick. Because most people had him in the first round.
And then he just didn't pan out.
He just didn't. All the things you're worried about him, because every pick, and I don't care who it is, there's always like the positives, and then there's a negative or two. Even the ones that turned out to be great, there was a negative or two about him. And the great ones, the negatives go away. Jackson's negatives were out. I mean, the rap on him was he wasn't quite fast enough, maybe, and that he was a little grabby. Well, he wasn't fast enough, and he was very grabby.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, all right. So back to this year's draft. So now the second round ends. The Packers move back a couple times, pick up extra picks, which they got some pretty good prospects there, and they take the wide receiver. Now the third round starts. Now they already have. So they've drafted Van Ness, an edge rusher. They've drafted the tight end Musgrave that we both liked, and they draft a wide receiver, Jaden Reed. Okay, so now I'm sitting there waiting in the it's getting late now, but it's the third round, and I wasn't thinking another tight end.
No, me either. I was like, they'll wait till day three.
That's what I thought. I thought, all right, they'll get something else here, and then they'll take whatever tight end is still left in the top of the four, you know, in the fourth round. But what happened was a lot of these tight ends were going. Like the kid from Michigan, Smith-Moonmaker, whatever I said, however you pronounce his name, Dallas took him in the second round. I didn't see him going second round. Mm-hmm. I thought he'd go later than that. So, I mean, and then another tight end went. Jacksonville took another tight end, the kid from Penn State, Strange. He went in the second round. So I'm like, wow, these tight ends are going. So the picks come by, and here we are in the third round, and Packers take Tucker Kraft. And I was like, my immediate reaction was more surprise, like not unhappy surprise, not like, oh my God, they took another tight end. What are they thinking? Because I knew they were going. I thought they were going to take two, but like you said, I thought later on, I thought they might go back to defense there and get like a safety or defensive lineman or something like that. But obviously, he was ranked higher than on their board than any other position, and so I was surprised, more surprised. But then I thought about, I was like, that's a good pick.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about him, but again, trust the process, which is kind of how I am with the draft. I don't get too granular with breaking down these prospects or doing mock drafts or anything like that. So I tend to agree with whatever it is that the Packers do. But here they are putting premium assets or draft picks into a player. Now, obviously, it's the third round, a hearty har har, you know, tongue in cheek, all the jokes and stuff
right.
like that.
I joked already saying that's
but
what
it,
we're
listen,
most
what better time to break the trend? And again, it could end up being like Josiah DeGuara, or if Sean Ryan gets his act together, who knows? You know, I'm not betting on him at all. But if there's a time where it's time to break that curse, it's during this new era where the Packers are finally turning the page, and it's a big shift in the organization in 2023.
Well, what I knew about Kraft from doing my draft previews and stuff is the scout that helped me with my draft previews liked him a lot. And liked him. He had him ahead of both the kid from Michigan, Spoonmaker, and the kid from Penn State, Strange. He had him. He also had, he had him ahead of, or at least even with the kid from Iowa, Laporta, because he said the thing with Laporta, he said, was depends what you're looking for. He said Laporta's a great receiver. He's going to catch a lot of balls. He's going, but if you want him to, you know, don't even ask him to block.
Yeah.
He said this kid, you know, Kraft can block. His one quote to me, which I thought was interesting, he says, now you're going to see tight end South Dakota State, and you're going to think Dallas Goedert, the Eagles tight end.
And he I heard another comparison on one of the podcasts over the weekend about that too.
Well, he said his first line was, you're going to think Dallas Goedert, right? South Dakota State tight end. Says he's not Dallas Goedert. That's just, and that's not a knock on him, because Dallas Goedert, probably one of the top five tight ends in the league right now, but he got Kelce, Kittle, Andrews. You know, he's in that next sentence.
Wrong.
Goddard's become a really good player for the Eagles, but he said he's not him, but he's still good. Like he said, he's another one. He called him a complete tight end, and that he can block, but he has a lot of athletic ability there as well. So like, yeah, he had him ahead of both the Michigan and the Penn State kids who went in the second round, and he had him like on par with the kid from Iowa who went very early second round.
Right.
So I have that in the back of my mind. I'm thinking Packers must agree with this guy. Their scouts must agree with this scout that he was too good to pass up at pick number, 78.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I liked both guys. I think they're going to come in. I know, give Paul credit for his story that rookie tight ends take time, but maybe not. These guys might not take a whole lot.
Well, they're going to play.
Kraft will probably need more time than Musgrave simply because of the level of competition that he played against.
Well, they might need more time to become what they're going to become, but they're going to play right away.
I would think so.
We're going to have to go through some bumps and bruises with them early on if that's the case, because they're going to get plenty of chances to play, because the Packers just, they don't have a ton of depth at tight end. So those guys are going to play unless something changes between now and the fall.
Well, that's the thing. Let me ask you this then. So we had mentioned Mercedes Lewis earlier. He hasn't signed anywhere yet. The Packers, he hasn't signed with the Jets yet. And apparently somebody wrote a story. I don't think they were quoting him directly, but quoting someone close to him or someone that knows him that said he doesn't want to go to New York because he doesn't want to pay the high taxes. I'm serious. That was in a story.
That would track, though, because he was in Florida where there is no state tax.
Right.
Income tax. And then I assume it's not bad in Green Bay.
Not compared to New York.
So that's a true businessman right there. Well, you know what? When you block as well as Mercedes Lewis, you're a businessman, and you can. I can see, obviously, he's a businessman in every sense of the word.
Now, normally I would tell you, no, I don't want a veteran. I want these kids to play. I don't need a veteran to come in and take snaps away from. But I wouldn't mind Mercedes Lewis, the mentor, coming in and teaching these guys not just football, but the how to be professionals and how to – because Mercedes Lewis, let's be honest, if he wants to be, he will be a very good assistant coach one day, don't you think?
I agree.
I mean, he's just everything I've heard about him and seen him and watched him, and you know, he has the makings. You know, I've seen other players like this that don't. DeMeco Ryans, I think I've talked to you about him. I got to know him when he played for the Eagles. There was no doubt in my mind if he wanted to coach, he'd be one of the best. Now he's a head coach. Some guys you can tell. Others. It's funny, just some other guys I've covered who I didn't think would be good coaches, but they did become coaches, and they're doing okay as well. But I think Lewis, so I wouldn't be opposed to them bringing Lewis back in that role. I don't want him out there playing a whole lot of snaps necessarily, mm-hmm. because I want these two kids. These kids aren't going to get better sitting around. They got to play, but they got to learn. And then, again, that's what coaching's for, obviously. That's why you have coaches. But it wouldn't be the worst thing for them to learn from Mercedes Lewis.
No, definitely not. And if they're not going to add anybody else to that depth chart, then I'd be fine with it. I agree with you. I say let the young guys play and don't take snaps away from them. But you do need somebody to come in, and even if and maybe if he decides he doesn't want to play anymore, but he's willing to come in and be like a coaching intern or something like that.
You could do a lot worse
than Mercedes Lewis. He's a fantastic mentor, teacher. He's a great character guy. There's everything to like about it.
Yeah, that would be ideal.
I mean, everything to like about it. But I kind of defer to the GM, the coaching staff, and again, you can call me, I'm carrying the water or whatever those cliches are about Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, and all that kind of stuff. But look, it's a different year. It's a weird year because normally I'm like, no, it's very strategic and I want the Packers to do all the right things. This year I'm like, look, let's figure some things out. There's going to be some things they're not going to figure out. It's probably not going to be your prototypical year in Green Bay. But listen, I would rather go into the season knowing it's not going to be a prototypical year and have them win only 8 games than enter last year and have them only end up winning 8 games. So, and these young players are a big part of the reason why is we have to go through the growing pains and the bumps with them to get them to the point where they can come out there and give us hope that they can win double-digit games and more than 8, make playoffs
I had this conversation with a friend earlier this afternoon as well that, I've never been accused of being the overly optimistic person. I'm usually I like to think of myself as a realist.
The reason, yeah.
But I think this team's a lot better than a lot of – maybe because I like Love. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe I've been a Jordan Love fan from the day they draft. Before they draft, I liked him in that draft. So maybe the fact that I think Love is going to be good is why is the reason for my optimism. But like I said, that this offense is young. The receivers are young, and they're going to make some mistakes, and then you're going to have to live with them. But you hope they don't make the same mistake over and over. But the rest of you, I mean, the offensive line is seasoned. It's a good. It's not a young offensive line. It's not old, but it's good. Bakhtiari, Jenkins, Myers, Runyon, either Tom or Neiman. You know, they're not old by any means, but they're a lot of experience there. Aaron Jones, very experienced back. AJ Dillon, experienced back now. So the receivers are young, and the quarterback is, you know, first-year starter. But I think the rest of it, I mean, the line and the backs are experienced. And these young kids are, like I said, I'm using the term young and dangerous.
The defense is still got good players.
Right. That's on Joe Barry now. He's got talent. He's got talent. Now, this is Barry.
Scary Barry.
Exactly.
Scary Barry.
I think I'd rather have Halle Berry.
buyer beware. That might have been one of, gosh, if we did snippets of our show and it was like a lead up into the Thursday edition, that line just made it into the lead in. Fantastic.
I don't want to kill him because everybody else does, but he's got it. It's his. Listen, no more excuses for him.
At some point, hopefully, we'll get a chance to talk about. Maybe that can be one of our topics when we get back to kind of choosing our own and picking stuff to go through and talk about. But at this, you know, at this point right now, because I think we were hoping that we would get a chance to preview tight ends before the draft.
Then we got them afterwards.
It didn't fall that way, so we got them afterwards. So I know there were only two guys, and we don't have to belabor the entire conversation. I think we both have a similar sentiment that we're encouraged by both of them. Is there anything else we want to add about Musgrave or Kraft?
I thought those two, I like both picks a lot. I love the Musgrave. Like I said, Musgrave was one of my, in terms of Packer picks, he was one of the guys Kincaid was up there too. I'm not going to be a revisionist and say, oh, no, I like Musgrave better. No, Kincaid and Musgrave were the two guys I wanted. You know, I wanted one of them. I knew they probably wouldn't get both, but I wanted either one. I would have been thrilled with either one, and they got one. So I couldn't be happy with that. And Kraft, I said, Kraft, a little surprised that they came back that soon. I thought they would get the kid from Michigan in the fourth round. I didn't no idea that he would go second round.
Well, Mark, you're forgetting your own analysis of Kraft to me directly over the weekend when you said that he's the perfect fit in Green Bay. His last name is Kraft.
Yeah. Either there or New England, right? Yeah. They took a kid named Colby in the fourth round, right?
That would have, you know, and then they would just, you know, they grab Miles Jack, and then you got Colby Jack.
Here you go.
All the good things there. Well, this is one of several shows where we're going to talk about the potential that the Packers have, and these two tight ends are going to be a big, big part of it in the passing game. It's a new era. I think we're all excited for that, and these two guys are going to be a big part of that conversation. So not too bad. So we'll be back at it again next week, as we always are. Before we go, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you what's up at Packer Report and what is coming up now that the draft is over.
Well, up right now, still up, is a story that I did right after the draft on the scout that I mentioned, who I can't thank enough for his help. And I think he was surprised I had to bother him 13 times I just review all 13 picks with a quote from him on each of the 13 guys and how he thinks the Packers are going to use them, or, you know, his thoughts on the Packers taking each of the 13 guys, which is pretty interesting. I mean, again, he's a scout. He's not infallible by any means, but it's just interesting to hear from a guy that's in the league. Mm-hmm. So that story's up there now. Give that a read if you haven't already. And then coming up today, Thursday, just my takes on different aspects of the draft and what they did and didn't do.
Okay. And I had a Quick Slants podcast that came out this past Monday. If you haven't checked it out, it's probably obsolete at this point because it was breaking down the draft and there's been other discussions that have been had. But if you haven't want to check that out, get over there and check out my thoughts on the draft as a deeper dive with all the picks that were made. We will be back next week, next Thursday, as always. Thanks, everybody, for chiming in, reaching out, giving us their topics, giving us the compliments, and for following along with the Pack-A-Day podcast. Hope everybody is gearing up as we are now into the month of May. Summer's right around the corner, hopefully, wherever you're at, although I know there was some snow in Green Bay just the other day. There were some flurries, so at some point Mother Nature will cooperate. But in the meantime, take care of yourself. As always, everybody, stay safe, and go Pack, go.